Good People Do Bad Things, written by The Resurrectionist and read by K-Burb. This is a Batman fic that is not rated, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. It features the relationship between Bruce Wayne and his kids, and is additionally tagged with crack treated seriously, Bruce Wayne is so done, Lazarus Pit, no Lazarus Pit madness, age regression / de-aging, POV Bruce, protective Bat Family shenanigans, and 5+1 things. Abbreviated summary. 5 things Bruce loses when his family keeps dunking him in a Lazarus pit, and 1 thing he gains. It's interesting, Tim comments as Bruce reviews the scan. It's a weaker potency than what Ross was messing around with, but it's legitimate. If you scroll down, I added in some mice trial data, by the way. Major effects seem to kick in at a concentrated dose of 1 mcg per pound of lean body weight. Ross probably knows it's here, but didn't think it was worth pursuing. You know, since he's got the stronger stuff at home.
I'm certain Ross knows it's here, Bruce says, scrolling down the tablet.
Sure enough, Tim's mice trials are already charted in a mobile-friendly table.
Do you know if there's any perforation into the groundwater?
I checked with Lucia's help, Tim says. Nothing in the samples from GMSD, nothing in the harbor, nothing in the rivers. We even did a dye test to be sure. It seems pretty contained. And since you already own the property above it, you own it. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you,
Bruce says, mock serious. He sees Tim make a face out of the corner of his eye, still scrolling through mice data.
Who else knows about this?
Tim is quiet for just a beat too long. I mean, Lucius,
you? And?
I may have texted the family group chat, Tim says. At Bruce's look, he throws up his hands. What? You were going to keep this a secret from them? You have an honest-to-God Lazarus pit with your name on it and you weren't going to tell them? Your actual name, by the way.
I was hoping not to have to tell anyone,
Bruce corrects. He sets the tablet down, running a hand back through his hair.
I want you and Lucius to pay off the construction team that found it. Fill in the pit with lead all the way up to the entrance. I don't care how expensive it is.
It's tiny. I mean, you could barely fit a grown man in it. Shouldn't take more than a few trips. Tim trails off, head tilting to the side again. Hey, V.
Yeah?
Bruce asks. His attention is already back on the wall of monitors over Tim's shoulder. There are 3 separate patrols to observe tonight, and Clark just assigned him a new case file through the jail portal.
Desk work you enjoy,
Clark calls it.
Instead of desk work that makes you, you know, miss the field work.
How tall are you these days? One. Gray hair. Bruce's body was, still fit at 61. Even if his skin had begun to sag and wrinkle over muscle. He can lift things, he can spar, but it takes more effort than it ever did. 5 years off active duty JL service, he's well beyond his peak. He is also far from the end. Tim called it a preliminary test, Dick says. The longer he hovers over Bruce in the ensuite bathroom, the more uncertain he sounds. Just a tiny dip to test his dosing. You like it, right? Bruce lifts his head from the sink, running a final hand through his sopping wet hair. There's no dye, no signs of bleach, no hair grafts or wig glue. His hair is, for the first time since he was 35, entirely black. There isn't a single gray hair on his entire head. Alfred, perched by the doorway, meets his eyes through the mirror. His lack of reaction indicates guilt, or at least plausible deniability in the drugging of his food, the removal of his unconscious body to the Lazarus pit, and the return to his bed 4 hours before his presence is due at the Gotham Arts Fund charity auction. Bruce squints. Even his eyesight is better. And Alfred looks suspiciously middle-aged as opposed to outright old.
You look young.
Quite kind of you to say, Master Wayne, Alfred says, prim as ever. You're looking rather refreshed yourself. Bruce goes back to squinting at himself in the mirror. It's wrong, even if it feels like his own face staring back at him again.
If this is to spare my vanity, I have surgeons and injectors for that.
Oh, God, no, Dick says, shaking his head. We just figured you were the best one to test the minimal dosing on. That way, if it knocked you back 3 decades by accident because Tim got it wrong, you'd just be 30 again.
I don't want to be 30 again, Bruce says.
In the mirror, he looks arguably close to 45, 40 on a good day. He'd aged well, after staying out of the sun and avoiding the typical fare of his echelon. Arguably, he'd been a young 60. He misses 60, suddenly. Things were simpler. The gray hair lended him a dignified look after his face finally caught up. At 60, Bruce Wayne wasn't expected to be much of anything beyond an aging bachelor. Well, yeah, Dick shrugs, looking anywhere but directly at him. You're supposed to say that. But deep down, you want to be 30 again, right?
Bruce grunts. How am I supposed to explain this?
Explain what?
The sudden lack of crow's feet and gray hair, Bruce says, tilting to the side.
Sure enough, there's a thin layer of Lazarus pit water in the shell of his left ear. Why the boys had thought cleaning off the water would throw him off the trail was hard to understand. He'd train them better than this.
Oh, man, Dick says. You have that thing tonight. And I look like an insecure Miami developer who just smeared shoeshine all over his grays.
It looks good. Dick's voice loses some of its high-pitched anxiety. His eyes scan Bruce's reflection in the mirror, subtly assessing him. No, really, you look good, B. Bruce turns around. Dick is slightly misty-eyed, still leaning against the sink. He has the beginning of gray hairs at his temples. Dick has gray hair, and he doesn't. It's an odd thought.
I'll book an emergency highlight, Bruce sighs.
He's too old, was too old, to deal with forcibly being aged down.
Don't try this again.
If Tim wants a guinea pig, he can use Alfred.
Sir, Alfred says from the doorway.
That's really good to hear, because he guessed you'd be a little pissed about the whole... Dick mimes picking up something and dunking it into the sink. Thing?
I am.
Right, but you're mostly distracted by how much you're enjoying that rocking hair again, right? Two, hardware. Bruce relives 45 for a grand total of 6 months before he wakes up, naked, face down, on the edge of his newly discovered Lazarus pit. Clarity comes back to him in that exact order. Rough rock under his left thigh and groin, the feeling of that same rock under his cheek, and the gentle swirl of cool water against the tips of his right fingers. There's Lazarus gunk in his ears, mouth, and nose. Even so, he can still hear Tim talking nearby. He hears the chime of Dick's phone. He can hear,
"What the fuck?" Jason says somewhere over him. "Are those his fucking teeth?"
"Father," Damien says, a little closer to Jason, because of course he'd been roped into this as well. "Do not look." Bruce runs his tongue along the inside of his mouth. He feels real enamel, without any of the crowns, bridges, or implants he'd added in the last 30 years. Healthy, adult teeth. All of them. Oh my God, then that means there's... Tim's footsteps come alarmingly fast toward his still-spinning head. Boots on rock, his patrol boot. Is that from his spine?
Jesus fucking Christ, Jason says. Dick makes a horrified noise. How the hell did that pop out? Well, he doesn't need it anymore. Yeah, no shit he doesn't. Bruce loses a grand total of all his spinal hardware, 4 surgically implanted rods, several dozen pins, and the scars from the corresponding injuries. He wakes up dangerously close to 40. Pym puts it in his notes as 2 out of question mark and refuses to elaborate on the question mark. Three, social engagements. I thought you'd be happy to be back in the suit again, Jason says, nodding at the case off to the left of the monitor platform. You're all, you know, spry. Nothing's aching, right? No more weird shit popping out? Thank you for the reminder, Bruce says. He closes his eyes, leaning back in his computer chair. His back doesn't hurt. It doesn't even twinge.
I miss patrolling. I miss sparring without worrying about slipping a disc.
So what's wrong, then? That all sounds great.
I can't go outside, Bruce says. In public. Downtown without a hat and sunglasses. Anywhere near the WE building, in fact. I had to cancel all of my appearances for the next month.
Who says you can't go outside? Jason asks. He looks, of all things, genuinely confused.
It turns out looking 3 decades younger puts a bit of a damper on social engagements. You know, on account of it being a bit of a shock, Bruce says.
Jason shrugs one shoulder. Just tell people you got a facelift, and to fuck off if they're nosy.
That will go down great with the C-suite of Wayne Enterprises, Bruce says. Which I have been doing audio-only calls with since last week, if you're curious. The succession plan was already behind, and now I'm going to have to plan my own death. Again.
Yeah, but that means you get to go to your own funeral, Jason rebuts, sidestepping the complaint entirely. Isn't that cool?
No. It's kind of cool.
Four, being left alone.
We need you,
Clark's voice says in his ear.
Interdimensional anomaly. Lots of big aliens. Zeta up to the watchtower as fast as you can. Superman out.
The communicator goes silent. Bruce lets it drop on the bedsheets next to him, suppressing a groan. People didn't call at 6 in the morning for an alien invasion when he was on what amounted to glorified desk duty. Five, respect. I promise this was the last one, Pym says. He actually looks like he's telling the truth. Bruce doesn't believe him for a moment. He's too busy coughing up Lazarus water on his hands and knees like a dog. They're all standing back from him like he's radioactive, probably because he is at this point. No pesky side effects if you don't hit the upper dosing limit. We dunked you for a little too long, but it's all good, okay? Tim says above him. You look great, B.
Stop telling him he looks great. It gives him anxiety, Dick says, patting the towel wrapped loosely around Bruce's shoulders.
You do look great, though. The pit didn't even touch all that muscle mass. A little, well, on the younger side, but still an adult.
Barely, Jason mutters.
He's smoking a cigarette and trying very hard not to look at Bruce. Or in Bruce's direction. There's fresh claw marks down the side of his face where Bruce's hand caught him mid-dunking. The sedative had worn off earlier this time. They hadn't accounted for the change in metabolic rate between 65 and 45.
You're just upset because you got splash, Dick says, sticking his tongue out at his brother.
Yeah, because I actually like how I look. Bruce coughs up another glob of Lazarus goo. He scrubs a hand across his mouth, making a face. It's not worth getting angry over, but the anger rises up anyway. Not Lazarus pit anger, according to Tim. Good old-fashioned bat pissiness. So did I, Bruce says, in a voice that feels a whole lot higher than it used to. He's barely 25, judging off the appearance of his hands and legs. His hips haven't been this flexible since then. We know, Tim says, making a sympathetic noise. We know, B. What the fuck is that tone? Jason asks. Dick says he has anxiety. Of course he has anxiety, Jason says, voice rising. We keep waterboarding him in the middle of the night. Yeah, and whose idea was that? Plus one, a wedding. This is a good moment, right? Bruce raises one eyebrow. Behind the potted plant near the emergency exit, they're barely visible from the Bima, but that doesn't stop him from trying to catch Damien's eyes just for 1 second. Weddings are always hit or miss, Clark explains. Lois's friends keep getting divorced and remarried. And let me tell you, those third and fourth weddings are a nightmare. No one's happy to be there. But folks around here are pretty jovial. Bruce says nothing. It seems like a crime to look away from his youngest son when he looks so happy, even if all he can see is the back of his suit. He got married on the older side, though. That helps. Clark shrugs, like that thought isn't perfectly pointed. You think you would have made it? Doubtful, Bruce says, because it's the truth. Death came for all of them, but it came for vigilantes a lot sooner. Stress, disease, accidents, a combat death, if they were unlucky enough not to retire. I bet you're glad you made it then, Clark says. Bruce can hear the, with me, without him needing to say it.
I'm glad you made it.
Bruce scans the crowd, picking out Dick, Jason, and Tim in the front row. Alfred, with a hat covering the unlined length of his face, sits in the row right behind them. Yeah, he says, taking a breath. Yeah, I am. The end.